president and CEO of the Eskimos, Len Rhodes, joins us again. Len, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Jason. Great. How about you?
I'm good, Len. Many people, including myself, kind of perplexed. 17 games in a row kind of defeats the purpose of the bye week. Now, how many scenarios do you give the league? It just seems kind of head-scratching to me that the best they can come up with is that you guys basically play the record consecutive games ever in pro football sports.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, certainly it's not the ideal situation for the bye weeks that were given to us, but in their defense at the league level, there's so many other things that we also asked for, and many ways we got. So, but first off, this is not a regular year, and the league was bombarded with dates that are not available in stadiums. And usually, Commonwealth Stadium, we're very fortunate as the primary tenant, even though the city owns the stadium, that we really have first pickings on things. There's an odd concert here or there, but that usually just means you can't play on a specific weekend. The FIFA game specifically, the World Women's Cup, when the city accepted to host the games here, we all knew that there was going to be a consequence of the stadium not being available for a long period of time. And basically, we can't play here until July. So that's what happens first off as the base scenario in terms of a lack of availabilities. You combine that with the other cities that also host FIFA. And then in the East, they have the Pan-American or Pan-Pacific games that they have to deal with as well. So I've got to say that no one at the league level tried to do this on purpose to try to hit us in any negative way. So you're right. We got 17 weeks in a row, which is not ideal from that standpoint, to say the least. We had asked for buys in weeks 2 and 13. We got the one in week 2, and usually we wouldn't want one that early either. But week 2 this year, in conversations with Ed Hervey, we said, well, we fear being on the road for the first 4 or 5 consecutive weeks to start the year. So let's ask for a bye week so that we can get a bit of a break there. The second part, though, when we asked for week 13 and got week 20, well, that's less than ideal. No one wants week 20 to begin with, but someone has to take it. But on the flip side of that, when you look in detail and you compare it to all the other teams, and Jason, if you look at the day's rest between games, we have a very good scenario there. So not a good scenario with the bye weeks, but an extremely good one compared to other teams when you look at the spacing or the days between games. The shortest week we have is the Labor Day rematch, which means there's 5 days between the two games. But after that, we're in really good shape.
Len Rhodes, President and CEO of the Eskimos, joins. Len, I thought of the idea. Do you think it's possible to have a floating bye week in 19 and 20, because usually by week 16, teams will know which is the team that's out of the playoffs. For sure, there's going to be one, and that's the team that could get the bye week. It just happened to be that way last year with Winnipeg, because, you know, there's a scenario you guys could finish first and then not play for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that the floating idea is a great one. The only issue is the stadium availabilities. That's the biggest issue. And again, don't think it would be a problem with us here in Edmonton, but the schedule makers are dealing with situations. You look at Toronto. Toronto, they have the Blue Jays playing there. They have now the Pan Am Games. There's a whole host of things that are really preventing them from being able to have that flexibility. So in theory, your concept is absolutely great and would work in some of the stadiums, but it wouldn't work in others, and that's why I guess it's not going to be able to go forward.
Well, and I guess that's what I meant is I would take out the stadiums, because you'd really only have to have 4 stadiums that could have the flexibility to do it, because there's only one team that has to move, right?
That's
need all 9 teams to have it. You only really need 4.
Yeah, and it depends, I guess, on the matchups and the potential, how everyone's in the standings. But it gets a bit complex. When you look at just the basic schedule and all the work that went into that, literally there were at least 20 drafts coming back and forth. But all in all, and again, you look at that in terms of the bye weeks, not great, not something that we're celebrating, that's for sure, to say the least. But when you look at other factors that we asked for principally to have Friday night games in the summer, more of the Saturday afternoon type games in the fall, which we got, and Labor Day rematch, we said we'd like to keep it on that Saturday, which we started last year as opposed to the Friday. Really wasn't fair for football, and neither for us, neither for Calgary. And we said we'd like to have it on a Saturday, and we kept that. And there was some pushback, but we kept it. There was also a situation in October 31st. Initial drafts had us playing on Halloween night, and we said, no, we don't want to touch that. We don't want to go head-to-head against trick-or-treating. So we asked for a Sunday afternoon, and they granted that to us. So there's very competent people at the league level working on this. But when you have so many variables coming into play, at the best of times, it's a very difficult task. But this year, with all these situations with the stadiums, that was the single biggest factor coming into play, preventing a lot of the flexibility that we would normally have.
Len Rhodes, President and CEO of the Eskimos, joins us. Len, we're nearing March, and Mark Cohan ending his term as commissioner. I know you're on the Board of Governors. What's the update or the status of a new commissioner?
Yeah, since we last spoke, there's a hiring committee. I'm not on the specific hiring committee, but they've been meeting candidates. And the hope is to have a short list in a very next few weeks to a month. We do have governor's meetings at the end of February. So there's probably going to be some face-to-face interviews with some of the people on the short list. And then you don't know where it's going to go, because it could lead to different roads depending on the offers, negotiations. Did they find the right candidate? Are there people that are interested, that the league is interested in? And how much notice do they have to give to their current employers? But it was always the hope that someone would be in place by the month of April. So I think that tracks well. But you never know until it's done. And it comes down to the right people being available, wanting the job, and that the nine teams at the end of the day feel comfortable with. Because there's a lot of work, big challenges for the new commissioner coming in. Mark Cohan was just fabulous. He was, I'd say, a fan favorite by far, coast to coast. Brought in solid ownership groups in cities where it lacked. Felt that stadiums needed to be revamped. And you see the resurgence of stadiums in Canada. Ottawa being refurbished. Winnipeg being a new stadium, Hamilton being a new stadium, Saskatchewan coming up in 2016. You know, when you look at Commonwealth Stadium, we have a lot of upgrades, which we really benefit from, and that's a fabulous thing as well. So the commissioner has a lot on his plate, and or her plate, whoever comes in, and then they got to look at demographics. How do we get younger fans to embrace the game? The audience levels are really impressive in terms of the amount of people watching it on TSN coast to coast, every game being televised during the season. But we do have a task to make sure we're touching the younger generation. When you come to Edmonton, people come to a game. It's a very universal, diverse group of people that come, and we're very, very fortunate. But it's not the case in every city.
Len Rhodes joins us, and that's obviously one of the bigger challenges for sure, getting, I think, the ownership situation finalized in Toronto. Also, Len, I know you're one that one of the new commissioners in, one of the first things you're going to present him with is starting the season earlier.
Oh, I think we've got to do that. I really believe it's a no-brainer. You start at least 2 weeks earlier, you finish 2 weeks earlier, and then with the climate that we have in Canada, sometimes you just can't roll the dice and just hope that it's not going to be minus 30 or have 20 centimeters of snow. Had we had a game at certain points last year, you'd say, wow, people aren't going to show up. Even our, you know, it's counterintuitive, Jason. During the season, we have a fan base. We had an average attendance of 34,000. But when you get to the playoffs, you have less than your own average that turns out. And it's really only one factor. It has to do with the weather. And while a lot of people say they love coming to games when it's cold and when it's snowing, the facts show they don't. So what we've got to do is try to advance that. I'm sure the new commissioner will have that as an item, because we've pushed for it at the last management council meetings where all the presidents get together. I brought it up on the agenda, and there's a lot of momentum around it, but it's got to go to the governors later and then pass the litmus test with the commissioner as well.
What's the feedback you've been getting from other teams?
On that, overall, it's actually pretty positive. If I were to gauge it right now, I'd say there are many more in favor than who are against. And other than tradition, there's really no argument against it. There was also the potential of going head-to-head with the playoffs in hockey. But when you look at it in its most simple terms, I think that people would prefer to come at outdoor games in the spring, so a bit earlier than how we start right now, versus being at the winter's end in the later part of the year, because the numbers just show it. When you look at the facts in terms of people coming to games, there's just something that declines once it gets too cold or if there's too much snow out there. So it's really some of the classic games have been played in some of the more challenging weather conditions. But when you look at, we're a gate-driven league. Every team in the CFL, even though we have a better TV deal, depends on people buying tickets. And the amount of fans who buy tickets is the single biggest factor in terms of how teams succeed or don't succeed. And we need people in the stadium. Plus, it's a lot more fun in the stadium when there's 40,000 at Commonwealth than when there's only 25,000.
No doubt about that. What's been the reaction from your fans after your season last year?
Well, overall, the mood is really positive. It's you know, sometimes you got to go through the lows to appreciate the highs. Well, 2 years ago was more than a challenging year for all of us on the field and then off the field. It really is an extension of what goes on during our games. Last year was just fabulous. With the turnaround, Ed Hervey deserves so much credit, not only what he's done directly, but in all the coaching staff that he handpicked, put together, starting with Chris Jones. It's just a fabulous story in terms of how that coaching staff gelled and turned things around so fast and clicked as a unit. Is impressive in itself. Ed's ability to find some of the talent. You look at guys like Dexter McCoyle, who's Rookie of the Year. That all falls into Ed's hands. And things that he's doing behind the scenes that people don't appreciate every day is the emphasis on scouting. He came to us and asked if he could have more resources to put more scouting in place and had all the right reasons. So we granted him the resources and he's run with it. The mood out there is positive. We had record merchandise sales, people buying jerseys, caps, T-shirts this year. We had record amount of sponsorship partners coming to the table. And as we look into this coming year, 2015, one of the key indicators is renewals on season seats. And when we look at this morning versus the same time last year, we are 10 percentage points ahead of where we were on the renewals, and that really bodes well. If we can continue that positive momentum, it should be a fabulous year in 2015.
Len, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the snow. Turn your lights on.
I sure will. Thank you, Jason.